The Secret of the Sea. An All for the Game fan fiction. Written by God of Laundry Baskets. Inspired by Opal Song's Pensive Project, which is a game where we all read a fan fiction broken up out of order, written by Opal Song, and do our best to remember it and create our own work based on it. Logtown. Captain's Log. Sea date 231.34.45.1. I can't wait to get out of the East Blue. We finally made it to Logtown, so we have just one more push to get over Reverse Mountain and into the Grand Line. I cannot wait. Practically everyone on this side of the Calm Belt is human, which makes most of my crew and myself stick out like sore thumbs. They hadn't even heard of Minx, let alone seen one. I can't believe when we made port in some Boony Frost village, the first word out of that kid's mouth was Foxy. Original. The crew have not let me hear the end of it, so it seems like Captain Fox is going to stick. I know Andrew and Aaron are both also itching to be in the Grand Line, where merfolk and fishmen are a bit more common. There was apparently a crew of fishmen making trouble, and those rumors are the closest most folks have gotten to a fishman out here. Both the twins have been on edge, even if the latest rumors said Arlong had a major blow a week or two back. Haven't even heard about any merfolk out here, but whether that's because they're also keeping their heads down or just the places we visited, it's hard to say. Kevin went up to the square where the execution of Gold D. Roger, the pirate king himself, was, despite my express orders not to do so. I could throttle him, but what he saw was uncanny. A boy, actually on top of the execution platform, mist swirling over him and a storm rolling in uncannily fast. If Kevin didn't have a devil fruit that could literally turn him invisible, I'd toss him overboard. But he got away without anyone the wiser, so I suppose I'm letting this incident go too. The only one who's been jittery as hell at the prospect of going to the Grand Line is Neil, though damned if I can figure out why. I've tried talking with the kid a few times about it, but he's slippier than an eel when he wants to be. I picked him up out here on the East Blue just about a month ago. It's odd, though. That accent of his is definitely not East. To be fair, the same could be said for most of the crew. But most of the crew isn't swearing up and down that they are East through and through, and looking like a scared kitten if anyone so much as starts to ask about their background. Even I can't place his accent. I've told the rest of the crew to leave it for now. Neil's got grit, I'll give him that. He's known that's where we're headed, and he's sincere in his desire to make this crew a legendary pirate crew. And the Grand Line is where legends are made. Captain Dan. Arabasta. Captain's Log. Sea date 321.64.11.2. Well, supplies are low, so I was talked into stopping by Alabasta for a true visit, rather than just docking in whatever port was closest for just long enough to resupply. We nearly didn't make it, even with the log pose. Hell if I know how Neil got us through that storm and to the right island while the log pose was going crazy. Kevin pulled me aside afterwards and swore up and down that what Neil did was impossible, as if I didn't know that. But all the same, we made it to port without dying. I told him we're not looking gift horses in the mouth, and that we've all got a pass that we might not be ready to share quite yet. That got Kevin real quiet before he left. Anyway, Allison knows this good noble here in Alabasta named Vivi, a princess or something. Every time she drops some new connection like that, I have to update my tally of evidence for, is Allison a secret noble or rebel spy? No conclusive proof yet. We're not getting it this visit either. When we arrived, this Vivi was nowhere to be found. And as for supplies, I could laugh. The kingdom is in deep trouble. They can barely spare enough to get us to the next island, no matter how much gold we could offer. And the sand. I'm never getting it out of my fur. It's going to be a coin flip if I die of heat exhaustion or sand abrasion. The only place that seems to be doing well is the casino. Andrew, unsurprisingly, was lured in by the promise of some of the finest local cuisine. He's always wanting to try something new. I admit I appreciate the variety he's able to provide, even cooking out on the ocean. Not every crew has a chef quite as talented as ours. Unfortunately, Andrew took Renee with him, and she found more trouble underneath the casino than he found in its restaurant. Got them both locked up in some kind of alligator dungeon? Rich people are weird as fuck. Luckily, it didn't take too much time for Seth and Kevin to bust them out. Aaron was half out of his mind the entire time, convinced that Andrew was going to be sold off. Benil was able to watch over him and keep him from rushing in. If anything had happened, we'd want Aaron in top shape to help out afterwards. He's taught the rest of the crew enough to do some basic first aid, but without our doctor, we could be in real trouble. I couldn't wait to get off this hellhole of an island. But as soon as the log pose set, my heart sank. How the hell we were supposed to follow the direction up was beyond me, and the locals were falling into too much chaos to be of much help. The Marines were going to be on their way for sure, and then we'd be in for a true mess. Neil insisted he could get us out of here and to ignore the log pose for now. If I hadn't seen the sure way he'd given Allison directions on the way here. Well, we're setting out regardless. Captain Dan. Right. Nearly missed the scrap of paper Renee gave me as we were leaving. She found something as the chaos was just starting to build. Some sort of giant metal cube. She grabbed a rubbing of a corner before she heard someone approaching and got the hell out. I'm gonna have to see if any of the crew know what to make of it. Captain Dan. Jaya. Captain's log, sea date 356.12.98.12. Oh, I'm shaking with... I cannot believe, Seth. We're on Jaya. I'd say it's better than Alabasta, but that was before we ran into Blackbeard. I say ran into, but it was an ambush that nearly got Allison killed. If Kevin hadn't been there... I can't talk about this. Seth left with Blackbeard. Voluntarily. We're leaving Jaya. Captain Dan. Sabote. Captain's log, sea date 362.123.4.56. I need to actually get this all down, because there's been some revelations I'm gonna need to revisit later. Okay, the beginning. We got to Sabote. Thought for once we were going to have some time to relax, and then we got word Andrew got grabbed. We were able to rustle up most of the crew to look for Andrew, except Neil, who was off who knows where. We found Andrew at an auction for the Celestial Dragons without too much trouble, but we were going to need a miracle to get him out. They were keeping him in this gross little fish tank gilded with jewels. Apparently, miracles come in the form of annoying kids in straw hats. As soon as the Celestial Dragon showed up, he got decked and caused a bigger commotion than I could have expected, with three other pirate crews taking on the Marines. We got to Andrew and got him out of the slave collar, which you'd think would have meant we were golden. But then Admiral Rico showed up, and that's when things really broke down. My crew is full of gifted fighters, both with and without devil fruit abilities. But Rico was on another level. We fought like folks possessed and still ended up with Andrew's throat in Rico's hand. Kevin broke away before I could stop him, and my stomach sank like a stone when I saw Rico's eyes light up. Kevin starts trying to barter himself in exchange for Andrew and the rest of the crew to leave while he'd go with Rico. No resistance. Well, the rest of the crew had plenty to say about that, but we were outmatched, and when Kevin stepped up, we couldn't do anything more than tell him what an idiot he was being. Rico grabbed Kevin and got him locked up in sea stone cuffs. Never seen the kid look so resigned. Brother's my ass. Kevin sure got the short end of the stick in family. And that was before the Celestial Dragon showed up. His dad. Now I'm left wondering how the hell he managed to hide that. I knew about Rico. Sure, having family like that in the Marines, well, let's just say I appreciated the heads up. But I wouldn't have guessed in a million years that they were also related to the Celestial Dragons. It's gonna make life more complicated now that that little secret is out. The Marines didn't keep their word. Shocking, I know. They started to drag us all away, handcuffs and all. That's when Neil showed up. He'd been missing for all of this action, but he came running through the trees, yelling for folks to get to cover, eyes wide and freaking out. He ran straight past us before we heard it too. Something huge crashing through the woods behind him. It was weird. The only thing I could smell was the salt water chasing him. That's when the giant wave crested the trees into view. Talk about pandemonium. The Marines made a break for it. Kevin grabbed Rico's leg from where he was half collapsed and bit him. While Rico was distracted, Allison and Aaron grabbed Andrew and hauled him away. Neil somehow appeared next to Rico and tossed Renee the keys to Kevin's cuff that he'd grabbed before kicking Kevin away. I'd finally reached Kevin, hauled him onto my back, cuffs and all, and started shouting to my group of idiots to get the fuck out of there. The wave hit. We were tossed instantly. I just prayed that folks were holding on tight to each other because we were getting tossed around like a kit playing with a rabbit. If Andrew and Aaron were both free, maybe they would have been able to help us navigate the currents, but it was just luck that landed us near our ship. A little battered, but not too worse for wear. How a wave that side made it through the giant mangrove roots and onto the main island is beyond me. Zabote is famous on the Grand Line for its calm waters when you're near it. I've never heard of anything like this before. I couldn't believe our ship was still intact. We started clambering on board, Renee helping Kevin out of the cuffs. I started looking around for Neil to ask what the hell happened when I noticed he was the only one who didn't make it. Kevin's out scouting now to see what information we can find about where Neil landed. Before we head out anywhere, we'll need to find him. Captain Dan. A small island off the coast of Sabote. Captain's log. Sea date 364.81.3.16. Neil certainly has some shit luck. While he might have freed both Kevin and Andrew from Rico, he got grabbed, and Rico held on to him like an anchor. My guess is Rico managed to sling a cuff on him before the wave hit, and they got tossed together. Didn't take too long to find out that Neil got stuck in Impel Down. Another notable inmate imprisoned there was Fire Fist Ace, who is apparently the Pirate King, Gold D. Roger's son. That bit of news really buried anything about Neil, but didn't hide the scent completely. Once our bounties started going up, it was always a bit odd to us how high Neil's bounty was, even though he wasn't usually in the middle of things like me, Kevin, or Seth. Well, runaway bodyguard to the Celestial Dragon certainly explains his shifty attitude, and the bounty at least. It was going to be a disaster. Impel Down? There's no getting out of that place. Too bad no one told Straw Hat that. 1 minute we're trying to plan out how we're going to get Neil back. Allison knows some folk. Her and Renee were working on trying to get him transferred for some reason or another. Everyone but Renee joined Andrew scouring the island we were docked on for an eternal pose that will get us closer to Impel Down. Renee was working on some improvements to the ship to make sure we'd be able to get away from it afterwards. And we're halfway up the mountain chasing a lead when we get a village kid sprinting up the path to us yelling that Renee says to get back now. The shitty Marines were broadcasting Fire Fist's execution. That'd be horrifying enough, except halfway through, Straw Hat literally falls from the sky, crashing a ship right next to Whitebeard. Behind him was none other than Arneel and a bunch of other prisoners. Apparently, the Straw Hat idiot broke into and out of Impel Down. It was chaos. Even with the video snails at the top of their game, with that many major players in one place, it's inevitable that some dust gets blown up. And that was before the prison break of the century was broadcast live all around the world. Not the image I think the Marines were hoping for. The battle raged. Monsters from the Marines and the pirates on each side, each trying to flatten each other. I wondered what the hell Neil was doing there. He's a good kid, reliable in a pinch. He's never been one of our frontliners. He was always the first to volunteer when we needed someone to stay behind and watch the ship. And he was stuck in the middle of these monsters? I was amazed he wasn't being flattened by the Hakai being thrown about. It was hard to track him in the battle. Unsurprisingly, the focus of the snails didn't linger on some kid when Edward Teach, Whitebeard himself, was wading into battle. Apparently, I shouldn't have been too worried about Neil. The snails all shifted to him pretty fast after he started really using his devil fruit. Obviously, we knew he had one, but apparently he'd always lied about what it was. Ships overturning themselves and the ocean rising up against the Marines was not what I would have called expected from someone whose power normally consisted of finding lost trinkets on the beach. There were some heavy hitters there, but I don't think anyone was expecting that, especially with the ocean normally being so antithetical to devil fruit users. We got Neil back, though. That's the important part. After the battle ended, the pirates scattered to the wind. Luckily, bringing Neil back to us. Whitebeard's death is going to send ripples over the New World and the Grand Line alike. Firefist Ace is heading up what remains of his crew, and Straw Hat is in the wind. I've been honored with being one of the worst generation. Not entirely sure I love the title, but I suppose I'll take it. I'd be more pissed if it was just those other three punks they were talking about. Captain Dan. Fishman Island. Captain's Log, Seadate 389.21.44.6. I could throttle Andrew and Aaron's parents. No wonder those kids were always so worried about getting captured. We were finally getting ready to get to the New World. Made it to Fishman Island, We were supposed to just be passing through. No plan to stop or see anyone. Unfortunately, no one told that to the twins' parents. I'd laugh if it wasn't such shit, because Andrew got grabbed again. He and Aaron were in the market grabbing some quick supplies before we headed out. They would have grabbed more of the crew. Allison was in another store, Kevin with her, Renee just down the road in the shipyard. But Aaron fought like a wildcat, drew the attention of the royal guards, which caused their parents to flee. Aaron's distraught. I've told Neil not to leave his side for an instant. A little worried that I stuck our little trouble magnet to Aaron, but I've got to have someone making sure he doesn't pull a fool's stunt. I wouldn't blame him. But Andrew's best chance is if we can get to him quickly. Slavers. I don't blame them for not wanting to talk about this part of their lives. Fuck them to the deepest seas and back. We have a good heading for tracking them. They're heading to the New World. Sounds like Big Mom is doing some collecting. She's one of the Emperors and not someone to cross lightly. I've heard conflicting information about her base on Whole Cake Island. Folks being brought there from all over the Blues and brought in chains, but then released to live as they like once they get there. A place where everyone is free, but not necessarily free to leave. Regardless, we are getting Andrew back. Captain Dan. Dressrosa. Captain's log, sea date 470.89.1.61. There's something wrong with this island. It's been a while since I've been in the New World, but I still don't remember ever running into anything quite like... The toys are alive. I'd swear it was a trick, but they talk like they know you. Know you well. No one is willing to talk about what is going on with them. If you try and broach the subject, they just laugh you off and walk away. Renee and Neil were able to find an eternal pose to Whole Cake Island, where Big Mom lives. That's where we should find Andrew. That was the last bit of luck we had on Dressrosa. Soon after, Neil's dad showed up. Neil's dad, who handed him off to the Celestial Dragons without so much as a thought. Neil's dad, who is the head of Cypher Pole. If my litter'd been born to a parent like that... No wonder the kid is shifty as hell. Knowing the weight of Cypher Pole is behind the manhunt for him would have made even the slightest slip feel like the end of the world. Not to mention the water-water fruit that he ended up with is somehow even more sought after than the ope-ope fruit. If that wasn't enough to deal with, Rico was right on Cypher Pole's heels. We managed to at least get out of downtown, to our ship, and over to some small deserted island not too far away. Probably no one was willing to live there because of the crazy fighting fish that attack if you get anywhere near the bridge that theoretically allows crossing over by land. The fighting fish can bend iron with their headbutts and would have wrecked the ship if the ocean currents weren't fucking with them. Neil was able to keep them away from the hull using the water-water fruit. We got to the island with Cypher Pole and Rico right behind us. We wrecked the island, trying to keep them away from the ship. Gouges of land being pulled up as Rico's devil fruit sliced through the jungle. Hundreds of marines trying to overwhelm us with just sheer numbers. Cypher Pole sneaking around and trying to stab us in the back while we were distracted. My crew put up just as much of a fight, Kevin facing off with Rico and blocking his attacks with the refract fruit. Renee and Aaron back-to-back defending Neil as he raised a massive wave and swept them all out to sea. We got out of there after that. A Cypher Pole this close, we don't have time to get into the weirdness of this island. I'm ready to never look at another toy doll again. Creepy as hell. Captain Dan. Whole Cake Island. Captain's log. Sea date 491.14.22.31. Mission success. We got Andrew back, though we nearly lost Kevin in the process. He's in the infirmary with Aaron right now. The rest of the crew is celebrating and welcoming Andrew back. Whole Cake Island was an odd one. So much singing. No one seems to ever mention that when they talk about it. But we were able to infiltrate the outer islands of it and got lucky that Andrew wasn't being brought to Big Mom directly. Neil was able to pull us under the sea to dodge her border patrol as we were coming in. Once we made port, Allison, Kevin, and I snuck into town to collect some rumors and see if we could get a better heading for where they were keeping Andrew. We were able to make it into the town proper, Kevin scouting ahead using the refract fruit to be invisible. We needed to get into the office of one of Big Mom's officers, who could have the bill of sale. Unfortunately, the baking soda tidal wave swept through the square, catching Kevin while he was in the dead center of the square. Covered in foam, folks started raising the alarm quickly. Kevin met my eyes, shook his head, and surrendered, after knocking the first wave of guards out, reflecting their bullets back, and generally making a nuisance of himself. Could practically hear him insulting the guards from my position. For realism, of course. He got whacked on the head pretty hard by the end. We followed them as they dragged Kevin away, hopefully towards Andrew, and not just to dump the body in the ocean. Kevin's gamble paid off, as we were led into a clearly more restricted setup outside of town. Guards watching, only a few bakers coming and going. We had to retreat at that point and regroup with the rest of the crew. Neil suggested disguising ourselves as part of the baking crew. Sneaking in that way would have been easier to pull off if Andrew was the one out here instead of me. But needs must. We were able to get a couple of outfits the bakers were wearing and marched right on in. The place was jam-packed with Big Mom pirates who hustled us to the kitchen. I've never seen one so massive. Allison's outfit marked her as the head baker, and she started to argue with the chief of security about the quality of the kitchen and how the night shift had left it in a mess, generally just as snobby and demanding as you please. It was shockingly convincing. I was able to get out into the hallway while she distracted the room. Luckily, all the pirates had been pulled into the argument. We were on our way out with Kevin and Andrew with us when Daifuku showed up. One of Big Mom's top officers. The man was huge, towering over us. With one swipe, he sent Allison flying. Kevin was able to bring up a barrier to allow her to slide back to us without exploding through several buildings. While he was distracted, Daifuku rubbed his stomach, summoning a halibur-wielding genie, who I just barely managed to block the attack on Andrew. We were being pressed back towards the baking facility. We held him off as best we could while trying to think of a plan to get to our crewmates, to get off this island, to just get out of here. If we could get back to the ship, Neil could just send us under and Daifuku wouldn't be able to follow. Though I know there's a fair number of fishmen and merfolk married into the Big Mom family, so we'd probably still have a fight waiting for us there if we wasted too much time. I struck out towards Daifuku, trying to get him to back away when the genie dissipated and reformed behind me while Daifuku caught my sword in his gauntlet. I would have been in deep shit if Kevin hadn't jumped in front of me, using his refract fruit to block the blow coming at me from behind. The genie turned back to smoke again, getting behind his barrier, and Kevin was stabbed through the gut, collapsing just behind me. If it wasn't for the luck of the moon allowing me access to my Sulong form right then, I don't think we would have made it out. I became much faster than Daifuku expected. I grabbed Allison, Andrew, and Kevin and booked it as fast as I could back to the ship. A thick fog blanketed the coast, and at its heart, we found Neil kneeling in the water, face scrunched in concentration. We got everyone loaded up and let down the sails, getting out of there as fast as we could. I wish we could have dealt Big Mom a bigger blow, but she's not an emperor for nothing. As it stands, I'll allow myself to feel smug that we got in and out with all our crew alive. Neil says he can get us over the calm belt and back to the East Blue to recover, which, I'm pained to admit, we sorely need. Ship has been banged up to hell. It'd be good to outfit her to better take advantage of Neil's devil fruit if we're going to do any more diving under the sea. Captain Dan. Finale. Captain's log. Sea date. Fuck the Straw Hats. We are going to be the crew that gets the One Piece. Their captain can suck a mouse. We were traveling for a while, shouting insults at each other. They seemed shocked to see us. Not sure why. Not like the Poneglyphs move all that much. Though, I gotta say, even I wasn't expecting Neil to just have the one from Wano. Apparently he was there as a kid. It seems like the whole ocean is heading to Laugh Tale right now. And so, of course, it turned into a massive brawl. Between the Marines showing up, Riko was gunning right for us, and Blackbeard bringing a giant black hole into the middle of the ocean, I could see Seth standing on deck behind him. It was chaos all over. How the hell the Straw Hat crew went from some unusually tiny thing to this massive fleet with all their random allies, I will never know nor understand. But at least they were pulling their weight against the Marines and Blackbeard, which I suppose means I won't set fire to their ship. Yet. Though if I catch that cook of theirs make one more comment about Allison, I will give him a good kick to the head. Allison might be using it to her advantage, but he makes my fur stand up. The demon child Robin was there, along with Brooke, the Soul King rock star. I was not expecting him to be a literal skeleton. Always thought it was a costume on stage. Those are two we can rock with. My crew's a little bit too fascinated with death, and those two know where it's at. Riko got Neil and locked him in sea prism cuffs and dumped him into the ocean. My heart sank with him from across the battlefield. Neil, unlike most Devil Fruit users, actually can swim, well, get around in the water. I don't think what he actually does can be classified as swimming. But without his power, like all Devil Fruit users, he sank like an anchor. It took a good 10 minutes for Jinbei, ex-warlord and fisherman, to bring him back up and break his cuffs, but he was alive still. The battle went on for some time, boats getting sunk and crews boarding each other's ships, old grudges playing out. But eventually we all started to break away as the wind picked up, and we just started to take pot shots at each other as we raced towards the One Piece. The battle isn't over, not quite yet. But we will find the One Piece, and my crew will be King of the Pirates. Captain Dan. The End.